from page 110, Islam Advav, in Keser Shem Tavishkai. It's short, but there's a lot here. Mevel Shem Tov. Lo elim yikonis adam lebeis haknesses shir shnei psochem. That's a din in the Gemara. That's a din in the Gemara. If you look at footnote 2, that's Gemara in Brachas Daf Ches. Footnote 2. Klemish lo yamad samach le Pesach el yikonis v'yizrachik mene Pesach kishir shnei psochem. So you know how guys like to stand right next to the exit of the shul. That's when it comes to a ball game or to a movie, they like to stand all the way inside. But when it comes to shul, guys like to generally stand right by the exit. So the din of the Gemara is that Shaliyamad Somach LePesach Al Yikanis, a Jew should not stand right next to the opening of the shul. It gives the impression, which is usually accurate, that he liked to get out. So he's not supposed to stand by the opening of the shul. He should be misrachek. He should move inside the shul. That's shiur of two psachim. There's a discussion in the poskim what that means exactly, but the ikur is not to give the impression that it's difficult or it's. He'd rather not be in shul. But Muchen Muzum Lot says, and he's anxious to leave, as Rashi explains in the Gemara. And there are different explanations of this, and again, how exactly do we measure Shnei Psachim of that shul? What does that mean? But we understand that a person should not stand right by the door. Should move in a little bit to the shul. Now, this entering into the Beis HaKnesses, the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and then in following generations, there would be other tzaddikim who would pick this up and would explain in their own way. On a deeper level, means a person who's trying to enter into holiness. Yikonis Adam LeBeis HaKnesses means when a Jew is trying to improve, a Jew is trying to change, he's trying to enter into the Beis HaKnesses. So, to enter into Yiddishkeit, Be'em is to enter into Yiddishkeit, it's Shir Shnei Psachim. Pirush B'Zohar, Shem Midas HaYira V'Ahava. Thank you, Shkai. In other words, what are the Midas, the Baal Shem Tov says, what are the Midas that bring a person further into Kedusha? There are many wonderful Midas. But the two that bring a person into the Beis HaKnesses, into Kedusha, are Ahava, Yira and Ahava, fear and love. B'Shem Ramban, Shi'i Evshar Shi'i Elu Shtei Midas Yachad. The Ramban explains that emotionally, a person cannot simultaneously carry within himself those two feelings of fear and love. A person cannot carry those two together. Ki im b'avodas HaBaris Baruch. Only when it comes to avodas Hashem, there's this miraculous ability that a Jew has to carry within himself simultaneously these two emotions of love and fear. So, that the way to draw further and further into the world of Kedusha is Shir Shnei Psachim, is with the Shir of these two openings. The two openings are Yira and Ahava. Look at footnote 6. V'yesh lo hoy medivir chazal b'sifri v'eschanan. Yesh lo chadam kishu mesyari mechavero. Kshumat richa imanich vahelichlai. The Sifri says that if you're afraid of somebody in this world, when you're afraid of somebody, you run away. You run away, you avoid the person, you run away from the person. The Sifri says, because when there's fear, there's no love. When there's love, there's no fear. When there's love, you can't get away. You don't want to go away from the person. When there's fear, you don't want to be with the person. But the Sifri says, Ela b'midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'lvad. Only when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'lvad are they together, love and fear. In every single bracha, as it's pointed out by many tzaddikim, in every single bracha, we say, Baruch Ato Hashem, and by Ato we're drawing close to Hashem. We are placing ourselves right in His presence, and we want to be there. But then you say, Elokeinu, Baruch Hashem, Elokeinu, Melech Olam, King of the Universe, and Melech HaOlam, King of the Universe, is already a ninin of pachad, where a person is afraid to be in His presence. And they're said in one breath. So he brings from Or Torah, from the Tzemach Tzedek, Rei Or Torah Simen Chav Zayin, the Simen Chav Zayin could be, the difference from Or Torah might be from the Mezuzah Magid, because that's usually divided by Simonim. Yesh b'chol dover, arba yisaydis. Everything in the world consists of four yisaydis. Eish, ruach, mayim, and ofar. Fire, air, water, and earth. V'ni eish u'mayim hem negdiyim zeh l'zeh. Fire and water are opposed to each other. V'ech yochel liyas nechlolim zeh b'zeh. How could fire and water coexist? Rak tzarech l'das sheyesh dover ha-mechabram. It must be that there's something which is mechaber them. Like it's brought down in the Sfarim, the Gemara says in Brachas that if you see in your dream, if you see a kedera, a pot, yitzapa l'sholom. It means that there's going to be peace in your life. And this is why I'm explaining what does a pot have to do with peace. So the tzaddikim explained, because a pot makes sholom between fire and water. Right? That's what it does. It takes both of them and brings them together. The fire and the water, when you have something in the pot. So the fire under the pot and the water are working with each other as opposed to against each other. So normally, they're negdim zelazeh, they're opposed to each other. So how could it be that they're nechlolim zebezeh? Rak tzarech l'das sheyesh dover ha-mechabram. It must be that there's some other thing that is mechaber them, like the pot. On their own, fire and water can't exist together, unless there's something that's mechaber them, that joins them. Shleivatel v'yichabah ha'esh mimayim alahepach, that the water shouldn't extinguish the fire, or the fire shouldn't dry up the water. There needs to be something that's mechaber them. A third party. Lekach tzarech lios davar mechabram, shleivatel v'mitziyas havayahu. There must be something that joins them that they shouldn't be mizbatel. V'hainu koicha shel habari hamamazik ben hafachem, liyosei elyon al kulam. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Oysa Shalom B'Maimav. Who Yasa Shalom Alaynu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Oysa Shalom B'Maimav. You have the Malach, you have Gavril, which is Gvur, and you have Michal, which is Chesed. And Chesed and Gvur don't go together, like fire and water. They don't go together. So Hashem is Oysa Shalom B'Maimav. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Memazeg Ben HaHafachim. He joins the opposites together. Otherwise, it couldn't be that a man and a woman should be able to exist with each other, because also they're opposites. And that's what it means. Zochu shechina b'neihem. If they're zoche, then shechina is. If they're not zoche eish, then if they're not zoche, it's a fire that destroys the relationship. They can't, naturally, a man and a woman can't exist with each other. Two opposite midas, two opposites, and therefore, they're a man and a woman are being upheld. If there's zeicha through the shechina, that they're being upheld by Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's mamazeg ben ha-hafachim. Hashem is mamazeg ben ha-hafachim. And the Torah says at the beginning that Esli Ezer Kenegdo, that I'll create for you an Ezer, somebody to help you, but she is Kenegdo. She's opposed to him. And Rashi says that if he's Zeicher, then she's an Ezer, and he's not Zeicher, she's Kenegdo. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, involved, so to speak, and there's Zeicher, so then she's an, then it's something which builds his life and helps him, and helps her, and there's Shalom Bayis. But if not, so then she's Kenegdo. Then she's the greatest force that's opposed to him, that's against him. Chayn yesh ba'avaydes alakus. So too in Avaydes Hashem. Yesh ahava v'yesh yira. There's love and there's fear. V'heim negdi im zeim zeh. And these are two opposite emotions. Ki ech yochel lios ahava v'yira ka'achas. How could Ahav and Yira be ka'achas? How could they be together? The marshal. Yira saw them mihanochas. When a person is afraid of a snake, ain bezu ha'yira shum ahava. There's no love in that yira. There's just the fear of the snake. Ochadoyim b'dover toiv ain by el ahava. And so too, when there's something that's good, he just likes it. He just loves it. There's no yira. Kibedover gashmi is ksha oyhev dover as any yarmen of a shas maisa. Uksha yarmenu as any oyhev isa. I will imu ahavas abur a yiris abur. However, when it comes to ahavas Hashem and to yiris Hashem, yochel yashneim keacha. They can both be together simultaneously. Ein gam magid dover liakov. Mizuchamagid, Shekeshahodam Maktin Atzmoy, Vnasa Bechinas Ayin. With the Mizuchamagid explains that there's a way to make that happen. It's not so pashut. There's a way to make that happen. It doesn't. Same thing with a marriage. It doesn't. It doesn't just work that way. What does it mean? For instance, in the marriage, that the husband and the wife and they're opposites, right? So zocha, if he's zocha, then she's an ezer. If he's zocha, then these two opposites can be together. So what do you have to do to be zocha? What does that mean? Means you get flowers. That's what they tell every single couple. You ever see that? That's like every single Shalom Bayis thing, that the main point that the lecturer makes is that make sure to get flowers. So that means, that's what it means if you're Zoicha, if you could afford flowers. If you're Zoicha means if you, let's say your wife's not the type that satisfies flowers, she wants to have a 12-bedroom house, you know, someplace, in some beautiful place. So then that's called Zoicha. What does it mean if you're zeicher, then the husband and wife could be together? So the zchiyah is the same zchiyah when it comes to Avodas Hashem. What the Mezuzah Magid is saying is kisha ha'adam makten atzmei v'nasa b'chinas ayin. When a person makes himself into ayin, into nothing, into ayin, that doesn't mean, it has nothing to do, I don't think I have to go over this, but without, and I'm not going to be American, it doesn't mean that you're a shmata and you have no self-esteem. That's not what ayin is. And I'm not going to go into that. I think that all of you know that that's not the meaning of ayin, that you're a nobody, you're a nothing. That doesn't mean that. But this mida of ayin means that you're no longer in a place where there's a hisnagdus. You remove the hisnagdus. When a person is ayin, so then there's no misnag. He's not taking up any space. When you're not taking up any space, then there's nothing that... you're not clashing with anything. So I was talking a little bit about last Shabbos morning, the inyan of vitor, being mevater, of giving in, of not giving in to the other in a way where there's a grudge or I have no choice, but because you love the other person, you're mevater. When a person lets go of what he wants for the sake of somebody that he cares for, somebody that he loves, so he makes his own inyan into ayin, into nothing. And then that very same moment could be one where they're closer with each other than it being an argument. But when you make yourself into a yesh, and there's that strong yeshus, I want, this is what I want, it has to be the way that I want. So then you're taking up that space and you're representing that midah of who you are, of yeshus, of me, and that's clashing with the other. That's clashing with the other. It doesn't go together. So there's a fight. But and smart people always say it takes two people to fight, right? And that's true. It takes two people to fight. So if one of the two decides that he's not a person, he's Ayin. He's Ayin. Ofer Avram Avinu. For right now, I'm going to be Ofer Veifer Ayin. So then there's no fight. There can't be a fight. There can't be an argument because you're Ayin. You can't argue with nothing. Not only is there no argument, but there's usually a stronger chibur, a stronger kesha that comes as a result of making myself a Ayin. Because you can't have a disagreement unless there are two parties that are arguing. But if there's only one party, then there's no argument. So what the Mizrach HaMagid is saying is Ksheshaodam, the secret to this possibility of there being two hafachim that are joined together, two opposites that are, and there's an Oysa Shalom B'Maimov, two opposites that are brought together, the removal of the opposition is to the midah of Anava of Ayin. That's the meaning of the Imzacha. The Zechia doesn't mean like if you're lucky, then your wife gets along with you. It doesn't mean if you're lucky. Imzacha, people are like, wow, I'm so lucky. It doesn't mean if you're lucky. There's no inyan of luck. Imzacha means that if you live in this way of Ayin, if you live in this way of Ayin, so then there's no kinegdai. There's no, there can't be a kinegdai. But if you live in the way of Yesh, so Yesh is then we have, each one has his Yeshus, he has his Yeshus, she has her Yeshus. The two Yeshus are very different, and there's fighting. They're going to clash with each other. Yeah.
Is the Indian of Aydin specifically for the man?
Not Davka. I'm just talking to the guy, so I'm using us as an example, because
you find in the Pasuk that it's directed at the man.
Nachon, because that's how it all started. So it's much more of a challenge for a man to become, if that's what you're asking, it's much more difficult for a man to become an ayin than for a woman, because the ikar nisarin of a man is, as I've often spoken about, is ego. But a woman, that's not the main thing. Ego, it's not the main thing by a woman. She has other minyana, but it's not ego. By a guy, the main thing that he struggles with is his ego. We've spoken about that a lot. The fact that and every person, you come from the dirt and you return to the dirt, and men spend their entire lives trying to overcome that. They just don't do well with that. But the woman doesn't come from the dirt, she comes from the guy. So the main problem that women have is like dealing with their men. But the main problem men have is dealing with the dirt. That's just how it is. That's the pshat and chumash. She comes from a guy, he comes from the dirt. His problem's with the dirt, her problem's with him. And then when he's his problem with the dirt is on many, many levels. That means his problem with the dirt. But it's mostly, guys, it's mostly with the ego. His entire life is with the ego. This inyan of the yeshus. For women, though, it's not a big inyan. That's why you're right, to ask the question, doesn't mean it's not at all with a woman, but it's much, much less that. They don't have that. The greatest need of a woman is to be appreciated for who she is. The greatest need of a man is covered, is to be respected. When a woman doesn't respect a guy, he's finished. When a guy doesn't appreciate his wife, she's finished. It's not a matter of with her, the ikur is not ego, because the meaning of appreciation is not coming from ego. It's a different sugya. But for a guy, if he's not respected, if he feels not respected, that's why I always talk about this, and my wife has discussed this. You know, we've spoken about this so many times. You know, like the guys that won't come to shul because they didn't get the aliyah that he expected. Women don't understand that at all. Or the guy he wanted to daven for the Omid, and he holds himself to be a Moshe Kusevitzky or something, and he didn't get the Omid. Women don't understand, like, what is it that's cooking inside of men. But there are things about women that the guy doesn't get at all, like, you know. Like, why is this a big deal that I didn't wish you a happy anniversary? So. Like, why do you want to leave me because of that? Like, you know, so what? Person forgets, so what's the big deal? That's not ego that she's hurt. She's hurt because she's not appreciated. Not because she's not respected. They don't have a big thing with that. But a guy, if he doesn't feel respected, it's a terrible, terrible thing. You have to always show respect to the guys. It's very bad. So that's just an answer to the question of that the Indian of ayin for a man is much, 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 much harder. He always feels that he's threatened by the offer, that someone, like if somebody, you know, the guy, so the gabbai didn't give him aliyah, so it's like the guy saying to the gabbai, are you saying that I'm offer? Are you saying that I'm dirt? So the gabbai says, no, I just forgot to give you an aliyah. He says, no, you're saying that I'm offer. You're saying that I'm dirt. That's like the mentality of men. I said that you're dirt. When I say that you're dirt, I forgot. How could you forget me? How could you forget to give me the aliyah? It must be that in your eyes, I'm worthless. I'm dirt. That's how you forgot. This is the inyan that's always going on with men. At work, at home, everything. It's tremendous. The ego. Obviously, some stronger, some not so strong. But that's not the inyan of women so much. For them to shift into the world of ayin is very, very easy for a woman to be in the place of ayin, which is why when it's not a healthy move into the world of ayin, women are so easily abused by men. Are there some men that are abused by women? Yes. But you don't have to be like some sort of an expert to know that that's a miyut shebe miyut compared to the women that are abused by guys. Because the guy that feels that he's not respected, And then he overpowers, he's a yeshus, and the wife, her inyan is not ego, so she's perfect prey for abuse. So women, billions of women all over the world are being abused by their guys. Mm-hmm. And all she wants is appreciation, but she's abused. She'll make herself into nothing. Talk about a shmata. Just to have her husband's a word, a kind word, a word of approval, a word of love, she'll make herself into a shmat, into an ayin. Into an ayin mamish. For her, it's nothing to shift into ayin. But when it's not healthy, and the relationship is not a healthy relationship, so then she allows herself to be abused, and she can live like that for 30, 40, 50 years with a miserable, nasty husband who takes advantage of her and abuses her in many ways. But she doesn't have the yeshus to throw the guy out. She doesn't have the yeshus to say, I had enough of this, get out of here. So it's a nice for them to be together. And what the Maggid is explaining is that when a person makes himself into ayin, so that's the secret ingredient in relationships. That's the secret ingredient between people and with the Bari, with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the secret ingredient.
Same as Bittul. Same word?
Yeah, ayin yeah. Ayin is bittel, same thing. Same thing. And when there is that bittel, k'sh'odem maktin atzma v'nasa b'chinas ayin, y'cholos lishkan v'yahave v'yir yachet. Because when a person is ayin, so then ayin is the shechina. That's what it means. May ayin yovo ezri esa inai elahar. May ayin yovo ezri, which we now can understand the meaning of ezek and nido. May ayin yovo ezri. Right in marriage, how could it be that the wife is an ezek and nido? The Torah says, may ayin yovo ezri. The ezer comes from that way of life that's called ayin. Because when a person is nasa b'chinas ayin, then there could be together a hava and yira. There could be chesed and gvura, a man and a woman. But that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in a place of ayin. That Shem Yisbarach dwells with those who are ayin. That's where the Shechina comes, where a person doesn't make himself into a yesh. That's the inyan of bittul. So when the Shechina, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu enters into the picture, then the hafachim can be together, then the opposites can coexist. But the way to bring the Shechina into is through bittul, is through ayin. That's in Tkei Ruach, Hashem Yisbarach dwells with those who are humble.
So Yosef did with his dream of power.
Valadai Elokim, it's only Hashem, it's not me. Whenever a person is in that place, so then all opposition is removed. And miraculous things start to happen. Ubora Torah Nach, that's when the Tzemach Tzedek, Umut Kuf Lamed Gimel, Uvua Shatam Lekach, Shabagdushi Yitachin Mizug Shal Shtei Midis Munugadais, the Tzemach Tzedek explains, why is it that in Kedusha there could be a mizug, this integration of two opposite midas? When there's Kedusha, why is that? Hu mishum shakol hu min echad. So the Tzemach Tzedek explains, because the truth is that in Kedusha, hakol hu min echad. It's really one min. It's really one type. It's not opposing. Habitul v'hachna elav yisbarach. The bitul takadosh baruch hu. What does that mean? Haynu shetoichran hapnimi shashtei hamidas. Because only on the outside are these two midas opposites. Ahava and yira. Chitzonius, ahava and yira on the outside are opposite midas on the outside. But inside, in Pnimius, the Teichna HaPnimi is that the Shtei Midas Achasu, which is Avodas Hashem. My desire to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, they're just two different, the two opposite ways of serving Him. But if you cut through to the core, they're not opposites. They're just two different ways of connecting to Him. And therefore, in Pnimius, they're not really opposed to each other. That's in Kedusha, in holiness. V'ilu binyani ha'olam, however, when it comes to regular stuff, not Kedusha, things of this world, shegidro hu metzius v'yeshus. Now we're talking about yeshus, the opposite of bittul, yeshus. That's why there was a shvius akelim, because the midas, the shvius couldn't, you know, work with each other, because in that place of tohu, of kilkul, of shvius akelim, each one says ani emloch, I am the king. So when the husband says I am the king, and the wife says I am the king or queen, whatever she calls herself, so then eish achlosim. Fire destroys them. These are matters of this world. The mahus of every midah is that midah that wants to rule over all other midas. But when it comes to Avedis Hashem, when it comes to Kedusha, the Pnimius is, no, I just want to do what's right in God's eyes. It's Ayin, it's not Yesh. It's not a different Teres, but the Tzemach Tzedek is just explaining it. In other words, they're not really opposites. Ahavas Hashem, Yesh Hashem, not really opposites. Externally, they're opposite manifestations of relating, how to relate to God. But internally, they're both a means of clinging to God. They're both a way of having a relationship with God. So that's why in Kedusha, they can coexist. But in this world, Muhusa shakal mid hi ayesha shaba. Taikif metzius agadarea hashayni mishel zulasa. Varezu tarubis min b'she'eno minai. And now, when we're talking about min b'she'en amino, so they're not bottled to each other. They're two different species, two different types. Min sheb amino is one. This is min sheb ein amino. So they're not as bottled to each other. Each one doesn't concede to the other. Each one feels ani emloch. I'm king, and this is I'm king. So when it comes to matters of this world, there's the fighting and there's the clashing. But when it comes to kedusha, then inherently, when it comes to kedusha, we're talking about Ahav and Yira being really min shebimino. They're really the same min, it's the same species, it's the same type. Because it's all about Avodas Hashem. Rei oi b'lekut esichas sof sef yalav, shakol zman, the Rebbe explains, shakol zman shemur geshes ba'adam etziyus av ha'ishis. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says that as long as the person feels strongly himself, his yeshus, when he's in that strong place of ego, of Yeshus, he can't contain within himself riksha, emotions that are opposed one to the other. That's why it's very hard for him to see things clearly, or almost impossible, because when he's filled with himself, he just goes after what he wants. Later on he might see that was crazy, what did I do? But b'shas ma'aseh, he's just filled with this rotzen that he has, which is his to satisfy himself. And that rotzen to satisfy himself takes over everything else. So he can't see the other way. Same way like when you're in a fight, you don't see the other person's side at all. The other person's side doesn't make sense at all. Can't see it. Later on, when you calm down and you're not in that strong place, so then you could see, that was Taka, a good point, you know, that he was making. You could begin to look it over in a more rational way. But Shas Maisa, though, when you're filled with Yeshus, that you want something to turn out a certain way, you can't see the other way. It's very hard. It's very, very hard. And even if you say, I understand what you're saying, that you just go on knocking it. But it's very, very hard. That's what the Rebbe's explaining. I don't remember if I said a bracha, did I?
Yeah.
I did. See what a good bracha I made. Akashim is yusar ritzanayis of ha'ishim b'teilim. But when the person's own mitzias and his own ritzanayis are b'teilim, which often happens after a fight, later on, he's not in that place of strong rotzen. So after the fight, umur geshes eslerak mitzius shalkesh baruch hu, and he feels that once again the mitzius of Hashem, not himself. Hain shakol ritzonu lamali es rotzen elyon, that now he just wants to do what's right, what God wants, not what I want, but what Hashem wants. Then he can see both sides. Now he can see both sides. That's why when someone else is having a fight, when two other people are having a fight, you can see both sides. Right? If you're a Baal Seichel, you can see both sides. When Reuven and Shimon are fighting, you can see the svaris of both, and that's why you could try to help them. Right, because you're like you're outside, so you can be nice to have fachim. You can try to bring the opposites together, but if you're one of the parties that's in an argument, you can't see the other side. Well, what happened to you? Well, how come you all of a sudden so dumb? when two other people are fighting, you're big miyaitz, you're big balaitzer, right? You're like this wise person that can give good advice when two other people are fighting. But when you yourself are in a fight, you're a total imbecile. What happened to yeseichel? You're not a balseichel. You're a balseichel. You help the whole world get together. But if it's something where your rutzen is strong, when two other people are fighting, you have no rutzen like this, like that. So you can look at it objectively. But when you have a rutzen, and it's your yeshus that's being threatened, so then you can't see the other side at all. You can't see it. That's what a negi is. You're entirely minuga with that yeshus or that rutzen that you have. You can't see it. You can't see it at all. Now you understand why the midah of ayin, of anava, of bittel is the yisod of one's entire avodah, of everything. It's the yisod, not only ben olam l'malkum, but ben olam l'chaveiro. The yisod of everything is bittel. It's the yisod of everything is bittel. That's why you see there's such a big difference when you learn Musa Svarim and you learn Chassidus Svarim in this inyan. When you learn Musa Svarim, so the Musa Svarim, the tzaddikim from the Balei Musa, so they'll spend thousands of pages and explaining thousands of chazals, trying to unravel each particular midah. Each midah of leitzanus, of kaz, and each midah. And to try to dissect that midah and how to overcome that midah and their svarim and so on. And by the chassidus svarim, you don't see like that so much. The chassidus svarim, it's always bittel. So when you look in the chassidus svarim, it's always bittel. In other words, what are you hacking all day long with 4,000 mahalchim of how to overcome anger? At the end of the day, if a person does not know how to be misbatel, so none of the terutzim help. And if you do know how to be misbatel, you don't need any of the techniques. You following? You don't need all the techniques. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And that's why you see that the Chassidus Svarim never, it's not a big inyan. It's not because the tzaddikim didn't care about shlechta midas, about the bad midas. But they felt that the tzaddikim saw that you're dragging around the inyan, you're not getting to the inyan. And they're all beautiful svarim, all the svarim that talk about the midas. And you could spend your whole life learning them and working on the midas, and it's beautiful. And it's interesting, and I spend a lot of my life learning those things too. And it's very, very wonderful. It's a wonderful limud and so on. But in terms of actual change, I'll give an example. The Gemara says in the Gilut there were Memches, Nevim, Nevias. There were 48 prophets and men and women prophets that were screaming at the Jewish people to do tshuva. And none of them worked as well as when Achashverosh took the ring off of his finger. What does it mean? When he took the ring off his finger for the Gzeira, that everybody's going to get killed. In other words, Achashverosh was a bigger mashkiach, mashpia, than all the Nevim and Nevias. What was Achashverosh's secret? He was saying over good rushes on Shabbos. Well, what was Achashverosh's? What was the koyach of Achashverosh? He was meshachnea. He spoke to people about doing tshuva. He put up signs about tshuva. He had a tshuva rally. What was the secret of Achashverosh's success in bringing the Jewish people to return to God? What was his secret? No.
Fear. Your life.
Yeah. Fear, the loss of life, existential removal. It was a gewaltige mashpia. Achashverosh accomplished more than all the Nevi'im Nevi'is. So the way that the secret of Ahasuerus' success is because when he did that, then all of a sudden, all the people that are fighting with each other over the aliyahs and the seats in the shul, they said, whoa, I think we're going to die. I think we're going to die. You can have my seat. I think we're going to die. I think it's over. I think that our lives are finished. There's nothing. There's nothing. And then, it's a very sobering thing. When Ahasuerus took the ring off of his finger, wow, that was very, very sobering. You could have my seat. I don't know. I had an aliyah 3 weeks ago. Give it to somebody else. And the Gabbai says, I never heard, we're together in shul 50 years. Did you say I should give the aliyah to somebody else? Yeah, I'm fine. Ahasuerus was part of such a thing. Wow. Because Ahasuerus brought us to the place of Ayin. Didn't come internally. The Nevi'im Nevi'is are appealing to us, please. And they're saying all kinds of Musa and Drashas, you understand? So the Musa and the Drashas are about, do this and try this, and you could do that. So it was, yeah. Shkayach, Reb Shai, Reb Yirmiyah, Shkayach. Ahasuerus takes off his ring, doesn't even say a word, and everybody says, Ashanda Bagana Gazan. It's an amazing thing. But Ahasuerus was able to repile. The reason for that is because Ahasuerus brought us to a place of Ayin. Artificially. With intimidation and fear, but we came to a place of Ayin.
Did it ever happen with love? Or only fear? I mean, love and fear, we said opposite.
No, it could happen with love. It could happen with love. If you could have a boy in school that's absolutely has a record of being absolutely unsuccessful in everything in yeshiva that he's doing, and there could be that Rebbe that just takes him over with unbelievable ahava, with unbelievable love, and the boy melts in the presence of that love completely, becomes Ayin, mamish. Could be with love. The tzaddikim, they had such a koyach to do that. It doesn't have to be Ahasuerus. Could be the Chavetz Chaim or the Beit Yitzchak. It doesn't have to be. But b'shas ma'ase, when the person is in a place of yeshus, he can't hear the other side at all. He can't hear the other side. That's what the Rebbe is explaining. But when his own personal inyanim are betalim, his bottle, then and then the person just feels the mitzvahs of Hashem. That's what Ahasuerus did. He's mevatel everybody's personal inyanim because he said you're all going to die. So all the personal inyanim, you know, all of a sudden these two guys, Reuven and Shimon, who've been fighting for the last 100 years, all of a sudden, hey, I'm sorry, Shimon. I really love you. Reuven, I know, and I really feel bad. And the two guys arguing each other on their way to the guest chamber. You understand? It's because there's no Indian anymore of Yeshus. The Yeshus has been removed. Unfortunately, in a terrible way, but the Yeshus has been removed. So then, once the Yeshus is removed, so then, why can't Reuven and Shimon, what's the Indian of Reuven and Shimon? That they can't be friends? What else? They're arguing. It's an argument. The argument is never equal to the possibility of those two being brought together. It's just you can't bring them together when there's such with the yes. It's all with divorces, with all things that go on. It's all these young. You sometimes they're two nice people and they can't stay mad with each other. Okay, they can't live together. Fire and water. So the Rebbe is saying, "Mugesh es etz l'rak mitzius l'shakadosh baruch hu, hayin shakol ritzaynu l'mali es ratzon ha'elyon. Shakol ritzaynu l'mali es haratzon ha'elyon. When the person's entire ratzon is l'mali es haratzon ha'elyon. Azay yitachnu ba gam dvar menugadim. Then there could be dvar menugadim. Then there could be opposites. The person could be a havenira. The person could be a tremendous masmid in learning, but then when somebody needs him for a favor, he could close a sefer and go do a favor. Even though he's a dvar menugadim. Sometimes you have a person that he's a very big masmid. But when it comes to helping people, he doesn't want to do a favor. He's like, you know, can't do a favor. So how come there can't be dvar menugadim? Either Ratzon Hashem is he should also do a person a favor if he needs you, right? How come this guy said, no, I'm sorry, he can't, he's always learning. He can't, well, the opposite way. The person that's always like doing stuff, but he can't sit and learn. Because that's not me. That's not me. That's not me. That's even the lesson that's used. That's not me. So who said that it has to be you? Since when is it about you? So close the Gemara and go help your friend if he needs some help. I'm not saying not to learn. But the person, for a person to leave his inyan and to do something that's opposed to his inyan, that's only with bittul. So he might look at himself as being the biggest masmid in the world, and he can never walk away from that, even when it comes to situations where he's needed for something. But that's not the Ratzon Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem at that moment is for him to be able to do something that he doesn't feel is me. It's for somebody else. But his Ratzon, even though it's a Ratzon, it's nice because it's mislabish in learning, but it's still a matter of yeshus. This is what I want. This is my way of serving God. Yeah, but right now God needs you to do something else. But it's not about what God wants, it's about what you want. Even Kedusha, it's about what you want. Since when is Avodas Hashem about what you want? Isn't Avodas Hashem about what God wants? So if God wants you not to go do something, so what are you sitting there? It's not about what you want, it's about what God wants. You have this in many, many things. Everybody can have your own examples, but it's always that inyan of yeshus as opposed to bittul. You can look at every mida, every negative mida, and you could dissect it from Hein Bez Morgan for 100 years to dissect the mida. If a person is stingy, doesn't let go of his money. You could write there a swarm. You could write a swarm about what's that inyan of stinginess, that symptom that comes, the stinginess. What is that? What is that inyan of symptom? And there's a lot you could say about this. It's a lot of Torahs on it, on that inyan of stinginess. But the bottom line is that you could give all kinds of explanations why you're not giving the money to help the person, even though you have the money, or whatever it is, that yeshiva or that cause, and you have the money, and you could have all kinds of fancy reasons to explain why you're not doing that, or they're not going to get your money, and so on, and how you hold differently than they do. And then you could try to understand this person's stinginess, i.e. has this money, so why is that? And he could help. Where's that coming from? You could find all kinds of truths, and you could write svarim on it. It doesn't speak to him. It's not me. I have my own way of determining what's considered this person's need. This is all the time. In every mida, you could take every mida. And you could have a person that's chalish and that's dying for this person's help, and Jesus, and the guy can help him, but he's got all different cheshbonos because it doesn't speak to him. But yeah, but the other guy is the one that needs the suit, that needs the job, or needs the food, or whatever. But it doesn't speak to you, or whatever it is. Again, all of this, of course, is within the halachas and halachas tzedakah and so on. But how and what and where and not. It's an example of that midah of stinginess. What is that? And the stingy person always has so many fancy explanations of why he's not. And the one who needs never understands that. Like, how did you come up with all this fancy stuff? While sitting in your palace, and I'm going through this, you have a whole fancy tirade built up about why you're not going to help me. But it's like that with anger, with laziness, with stinginess, with each of the midos. The thing is, yeshus. You have your own criteria. You have your own criteria. Now, somebody that's looking from the outside would say, that doesn't have in the gear, because they're not asking him for the money. I mean, he doesn't have the money, they're not asking him for the money. He looks at this, he says, like, Rabbi Shalom, write out a check to you. Like, why don't you give the guy something already? Like, what's going on? Help the guy out. And the stingy guy, the gevir, he would be also give such an eitzah if he saw another gevir that they were coming after for that. He would also say such an eitzah. But when it's the money is from his pocket, then it's a whole tire, it's a whole sefer, why not? And only if, I'll give you if and how and when, and you're not roi for this and so on. So because that's his nisayon, his stinginess, and he can't be mevatel that yeshus inside of him to just let go. So it's not fancy. It's just it always comes down to this inyan. Shekol ritzoni lamali is ratzon ha'elyon. But when a person's entire ratzon is, what does Hashem want now? Not me. It's not about my criteria. What does Hashem's Baruch want now? Does he want me to sit here, well, this person needs my help, or does he want me to go help him? So then when, even though that's the opposite mida, for the stingy guy to give the money, or for the masmid to close the sefer, it's the opposite mida. But since when is it about you? Since when is it about you? Since why isn't it about Hashem's Baruch? It's not about you. So that's always the underlying shirish. It's the root of all the midas. That inyan of the problem with bittul, it's always the shirish of all the midas. But when it's about Hashem, not about you, so then there could be opposites. Then you could be a masmer, but you close the gemara. You could be b'derech hateva, you're a stingy person, but you could help people. You could go above and beyond. You could break that inyan. Not with all kinds of techniques and have to go, you know, to seminars and all this stuff. There's somebody that keeps on hacking me that he was listening to some shiur from somebody about how to, you know, hold me this program and so on. And he wants me to use this system to talk to the chavir in shul. And I listened a little bit. And it's very, very nice, but it's all this stuff. And it's all this stuff that, you know, on a good day, you don't need it, and on a bad day, it doesn't help, you know what I mean? That's what it is. The Indian is bittul. The Indian is emunah, bittul, emunah. It's Hashem, it's not you. And even on a bad day, if it's about Hashem, you'll do what you have to. Once you're on Hashem's side, then opposites, well, everything could be. When you're with the Rabbanu Shlomo, then everything could be, because Hashem is not held by the rule that opposites can't join together. The Zohar Kaddish says that the heart of a Jew is different from the heart of a guy. The heart of a Jew, one side of the Jewish heart is crying, the other side of the Jewish heart is filled with joy. It's possible for a Jew to contain those two opposite emotions at the same time. It's brought down in Tanya Lamadal in many, many places in Chazir Swam, that saying of the Zohar Kaddish, that one side of the heart is crying, the other side of the heart is laughing. Doesn't make any sense. How could that be? That the same heart is able to laugh and cry simultaneously. It's a sight of a Jew. A guy can't understand such a thing, but a Yid has such a koyach. When a person is an Eved Hashem, He has such a thing. By the tzaddikim was a very clear thing, the laughing and the crying at the same time, everything. But tzaddikim, there's no inyan of opposites not being able to coexist. But when a person is in a place of yeshus, he can only live in that mode. When it's yeshus, you can only be in that inyan that you want. You can't be in different inyan. You can't be in different inyan. It's either miserable or happy, but not happy, miserable, whatever. It doesn't work. Because then there's the limitation of a human being. A human being can only be in one thing. But when you're ayin, then it's my ayin yovezri, then you're in the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, and there could be mamish opposites, different opposites. Okay, see, I told you it's a tiny little piece, but there's a lot here, and we didn't even start. Okay, Mr. Shem, continue next time.